Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, we're beginning today our limud of Hilchos Nida. A few introductory remarks before we start with the introduction to the limud. The Mishnah tells us at the end of the third parak of Avos, Rav Elazar Ba'omer, Kinen of Hiskei Nida, Hein Hein Gufei Halachos. So his two examples of what's considered Gufei Halachos are Kinen and Pischei. What does he mean by Pischei Nida? What's significant about Pischei Nida? And what's fundamental about it that makes it the example of Gufei Halachos? So if you look in the Mefarshim on Avos, you find a range of possibilities. The Meiri writes over there in his Perish on Avos that the Tan is simply pointing out the last Masechta in Maseches in Seder Kodshim, which is Kinim, the last Masechta in Seder Taras, which is Nida, and the Tana means to tell you that you're supposed to learn Kol HaTorah Kul all the way to the end, all the way to the end of Kodshim, and all the way to the end of Taras. So even those areas of Halacha that people don't necessarily get to, that's part of Talmud Torah, and the person's ambitious agenda should be to know Kol HaTorah Kula up to the very end, to Maseches Nida, which is the last Masechta in Shas. If you look in the Perish HaMeyuchas L'Rashi and Avos, he points out, as do other Mefarshim, that this seems to be connected, at least the Lashon of Pischei Nida, to the Mishnah in Erechin and Dav Ches. The Mishnah in Erechin and Dav Ches, which we'll talk about in its own context shortly, if not today, then in the next Kabura. The Mishnah tells us, Chesem and Aleph in Erechin, Ein Pesach B'toe Pachos Mishiva V'lo Yeser Al Yuzayim. So the Mishnah here uses the Lashon of Pesach. The reference is to a person who is unsure about her vest, unsure as to whether and when she should be expecting to see Dam Nida. So, and as we will discuss, if a person is confused or unclear as to whether she is a Zava or a Nida, you have to be Machmer in both directions. So the Mishnah here, and the Gemara explains, has a range of days in which a woman may be misupekes about what kind of Dam she's seeing. So the Lashon of Pischei Nida is a reference to the Lashon of Ein Pesach B'Toa, which is a Lashon of Tchila, of beginning. Meaning to say that these are Gufei Halachos, these Dinim that the Mishnayos have there in Erechin as to how to calculate situations of Safik and Hilchos Nida, these are important Halachos, they are Dvarim Chamur Man Ma'od, and a person shouldn't take them lightly. So then the Mishnah is telling you, Rav Elazar Mechisma is saying that these are Gufei Halachos, these are important Halachos that you have to take seriously. So these situations of Safik in a woman's count of Yemei Nida, Yemei Ziva, are things that she has to take seriously. The Ben Yonan is perish over here on Avos, also is working off that mission Erechin. He understands the Lashon of Pesach not as a reference to beginning, but as a reference to the Pischei Nida, the openings in a woman's body that produces Dam Nidus. So we'll see as we go on what Dam is considered to be Dam Nidus. But a person has to be able to ascertain what the source of the Dam is. Is a Dam coming from a place of the woman's body that's going to render her Tameya, or is a Dam that is going to make her remain Tahora? So that's the Lashon of Pischei Nida. These are important halachas to be able to distinguish between that Dam which renders a woman Tameya and that Dam which renders a woman Tahora. Those are the Pischei Nida, the openings in the body of a woman that you have to have familiarity with in order to paskin these shailas of Dam Nidus. There's a comment of the Medr Shmuel. Medr Shmuel is about 400-year-old commentary, a collection of commentaries on Pirkei Avos. It's not a Medr, even though it's called Medr Shmuel. So people, the uninitiated, may make that mistake. The Medr Shmuel has the following observation on this Mishnah. V'efshe sharasa tanel hashmi enu sheyilmar ha'adam ha'torah lishma. So a person should have the mindset that his engagement in Talmud Torah is lishma. V'lo yomar elmod hadinin hanuhugin levad. A person shouldn't say, I'm only going to learn halach l'maisa. I'm not going to concern myself with those halachas that are not very practical. Kelomi Torah lishma, kala Torah kula lefana b'hashav. A person learns Torah lishma, so he doesn't distinguish between that which is l'maisa, that which is less l'maisa. He's open to and engaged in Talmud Torah across the board. Therefore, he says, the Mishnah presents two categories of halachos that seem to be opposites. On the one hand, you have Hilchos Kinim, complicated situations of birds for kabbanos that are mixed up, which are super not lemaisa bizman hazeh. Even bizman beis hamikdash that were not so lemaisa because their situation is a suffix that probably didn't happen every day, and it's super not lemaisa bizman hazeh. And that contrasts with pischei nida, where he writes ein rega below nega shetzarech shizahar adam behem. That a person, there's never a moment where you don't have to be concerned about hilchos nida. These are things that are always practical. And the time has come to tell you that in the mind of the lomei Torah, the person engaged in serious talmud Torah lishma, there can't be any distinction. Now, there are going to be some distinctions, but on a theoretical level, there's no distinction in significance between that which is aliv de hilchos and that which is not, that which is lemaisa, and that which is totally abstract. So the Mishnah is coming to tell you, pischei nida kinin, in your mind, in the mind of the lomei Torah, should be equal and equivalent. So nida is very lemaisa, kinin not so, but we have to be concerned about all areas of Talmud Torah. Interestingly, in the Sefer Gufei Halachos, this is a Sefer Halachos Nida that Rabbi Willig was fond of when he gave Shema Nida many years ago. This was a Mishnah Berurah style Sefer before the Badi Yashochan, written by Rabbi Wallhendler from Williamsburg, who passed away a few years ago at a relatively young age. Young age in our day and age, I think he was under 60. He got a lot of flack when he first published the Sefer under the name Mishnah Berurah HaKadosh. The people attacked him for usurping the title of the Mishnah Berurah. So I don't know if this is a first edition here. I think this may be the first edition. So Sefer Gufei Halachos v'hu Mishnah Berurah HaKadosh, he got put in Chayrim for referring to it as the Mishnah Berurah HaKadosh. But be that as it may, he does have a Haskama from the Deborah Tziner. He writes in his introduction the opposite shot, that Kinan and Pischei Nida are the same as far as their relevance, because the reference here is specifically to the Pischei Nida of the Mishnah Erchin, those details in Hilchos Nida that are not terribly lemaisa, situations of Safek, which is not going to come up all the time. If a woman makes some kind of mistake in her count, so then how do you deal with that mistake? So that's not the day-to-day of Hilchos Nida. That's the more obscure details in Hilchos Nida. Nevertheless, a person has to not only learn the halachas that are more lemaisa, but has to learn the obscure halachas. The way he presents it, both kinim and nida, pischei nida, are examples of the more obscure halachas that are still a part of Talmud Torah. The Mishnah has a different perspective on this in the end of Perek Dalet Misodei HaTorah. The Mishnah has the following comment, the end of Yisodei Torah Perek Dalet. The entire Mishnah is Rav Lazer ben Chisna Omer Kinen Pischei Nida Heinen Gufei Halachos Tekufos Ugematrios Parparos Lachachma. So the Kaz Mishnah writes, what's the common unifying theme among these four things? The Alpha Pishat Kufos Vagematrios Aska Midvar Meulim Sheim Hagarmiim Hashemaimiim. So when you're dealing with Kufos, figuring out astronomical calculations, gematrios, these are things that are shemaimim, are heavenly. The kinim heim davar kal ha'erech. Kinim is something that's more mundane. Pischei nida nosam davar mechuar. Pischei nida is not something that's usually a topic of public discourse, not something that you usually discuss. It's something that's private, it's something that's unrefined in a certain level. We're talking about dam. Afalpikein elu hein gufei halachos. Nevertheless, even though pischei nida are on some level a davar mechuar, something that you don't normally talk about in the open, it's still considered gufei halachos. Kolomar ikrei Torah mitzad eschar gadol atzaf in lahos gemem. It's still part of Talmud Torah, and there's still the same schar gadol for dealing in hilchos nida as in dealing in other areas of halacha, just the same.
One is hefreiki and one is not hefreiki, and even though it's not hefreiki, it's still more important than things that have to be absolutely off the logic.
So I don't know if he's saying more important. He's saying even though it's a davar mechuar, it's still considered gufei halachos. It's still considered part of Ikarei HaTorah. I don't think he's saying, I'm sorry?
Having something that's halachas, I mean, it's Torah, it's no longer mechor.
That's what he's saying. So what he's saying is that a person, this, that would be an incorrect perspective. A person may have the perspective that why should we give public shirim about things that are private, things that are on some level mechor. So that's what Blessed Melchizedek is coming to tell you. No, this is all part of Talmud Torah. As much as any other area of halacha. So you have here a range as to whether the emphasis of hein hein gufei halachos or dafka things that are less lamaisa, more obscure, or dafka things that are more lamaisa, or things that are, in the case of Mishnah's language, a davar mechur. Anyway, you slice it. These are important halachos that we have to be osek in, and that's going to be the theme of our limud for a good part of this year. Before we move on to the real Hagdama, there's another comment we should mention on the Marsha at the very end of Mesechus Nida. Mesechus Nida ends off the same way a few other Mesechus do.
I'm sorry, what does the Pisca Nida do?
So either Pisca Nida, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a reference to the actual openings in a woman's body, the openings where Dam comes out of, or it's a reference to Techilas Nida, when a woman becomes Nida, which is probably the Pashim Shah and the Lashon and the mission of Erechon of Ein Pesach B'Toa, the beginning of a woman's period of Nida is where she is Toa, that her count is between 7 and 17 days. That's how those of the Farsim that actually teach the word say it. You may minimize the significance of the Lashon of Pesach and just understand it to be a reference to Hilchos Nida. The Gemara ends Nida and Gimel and Aleph, the last Memra in the Gemara, as a few other Mesechtas end as well. Tana Devei Eliyahu Kol Hashana Halachas B'Chol Yom Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba Shenamar Halichas Olam Lo Atrikri Halichos Ela Halachas. So the Marsha comments, why does our Mesechta end with this Memra of Kol Hashana Halachas B'Chol Yom? So as we'll see, probably next time, as you've probably seen already, that there is a development in halacha and practice between what's considered a nida versus avad d'oraisa, and common practice of takanas rebbe and the minhag b'nos hasol of Reb Zeira, where there were chumras added over time that we treat everyone as a safek nida, safek zava. So we are machmir both the chumras of nidas and the chumras of ziva. So once that's the case, one could argue that a lot of the Mesechta becomes academic, because you don't have to really figure out anymore what's considered a Nida, what's considered a Zava, what's Daraisa, what's not, everywhere, Machmer, and everything. So if that's the case, you would have thought that maybe the Libet of Mesechta's Nida is not as critical anymore, because we're just Machmer across the board, and we don't have to know all the details. So the Marsha says, that's shot in the Gemara, Kol Hashana Halachas B'Chol Yom, even though you might have had that perspective, that's an incorrect perspective. And just because we have these later takanos, the Rabbanon, that sort of level the playing field and tell us to be machmir across the board, nevertheless, these are still important halachas that we have to know. We still have to figure out what's the deraisa, what's the Rabbanon, what's mekaradin, what's the Rabbanon, what's the chumrah, what's not. So that's also part of the exercise of learning these halachas. Okay, so first we need to address what is the difference between a Nida and a Zava. So in the end of Parshas Mitzorah, there are two Parshios that we have in Perek Tesvav. First the Parsha of Nida, and then the Parsha of Zava. So the relevance of Nida and Zava is really threefold. Number one, a Nida or a Zava is going to be considered an Avatama. The list of the first barak of Mesachas Kalim. Then the Dam of a Nida is also considered an Avatama. So a Nida herself is an Avatama, the Dam Nida is an Avatama. And then the third area is the fact that a Nida is a Sirila Baila. A Nida or a Zava is a Sirila Baila. That's not in Parshas Mitzvah, that's in Parshas Achrimas. Perek Yilches, Pasuk Yates. So Anida is going to be an Avatumba, the Dam Nida is an Avatumba, and there's an Isser Labayla. So most of our discussions in the course of our Limud is going to relate to the third category, the fact that Anida is a Isser Labayla. Tum and Tara don't affect us that much anymore, even though we'll see there are parallels in halachas between what renders a woman, definitionally what renders a woman a Isser Labayla, and what are the gornim to make her tameya in Hilchas Tumah V'Taharas, but our focus primarily is going to be on the Isser Labayla. We should note, even though in general we don't practice Tumah V'Taharas so much anymore, so the theoretical relevance of the fact that a Nida is considered an Avat Tumah is minimal, there is an interesting comment that the Or Zeruah has. The Or Zeruah in Simen Shin Samach, in the paragraph beginning the Kasa B'Piskei Nida. Simen Shin Samach, the Kasa B'Piskei Nida. In the new fancy footnote of Or Zeruah, he says in the footnote that the reference to Piskei Nida that the Or Zeruah is quoting is to the Sefer Apardes, the Sefer Orah, which are from Rashi's base Medrash, Miuchas Rashi, or from Tamidei Rashi. So the Or Zeruah there in Simen Shin Samach quotes from Piskei Nida that Kalim Shenina Nida Nogas Behem is Manazeh. If a woman who's a Nida touches Kalim nowadays, Tahori Meitzel Baila, there's no Tumah that's conveyed. Shere B'nei Adam Bismanazeh Mitamin B'Kvaros Uba'ol Ameis Uba'meis Lo Yitaru Li'olam. So nowadays, we're not nizer about these things. We're not nizer. We come in Siphon Kohanim, we come in contact with Mason, we come in contact with Tumas Mace. And until we have the Paraduma, it doesn't really make a difference whether a person is going to become Tumah or not. We're all presumed to be Ava Tumas anyway, right? To have come in contact with such Tumah. So, Kach Kalim Shanid and Nogasvam, Mutarim Liga Behem Lishamishvam. Therefore, there's no impediment to using, to touching, to coming in contact with utensils, with clothing that a Nida wears or comes in contact with herself. However, aval, anu machmirin al atzmenu ve'ein anu yoshvim al moshava. So apparently there was such a minhag to be machmir, not to sit on the seat of a Nida, v'lo nogim bibigadeh, not to touch her clothing, v'lo mikablim shim davar miyada, ela al yidei acher. And our practice, we'll see, is that there's a certain class of halachas called tarchakos, that there's certain contact that a husband can't have with his wife who's a nida. But those halachas tarchakos don't apply to anyone other than the husband. Those are chumas that we have by a husband, but not by everyone else. So the representation here that the Or Zeruah quotes is that there are places where they had the practice, apparently of being no hegar chakos even for other people, not to take something directly from a nida, and they were machmir not to touch things that she touched. B'choma shenucha l'hachmir nachmir v'narchik mimena. And then they would give her certain, she'd have certain utensils that she would use, b'mei nidusa, b'mei tamasa, and then she'd wash them when she became tahora. U'minag zayafal Yisrael linog b'mnei hergal aveira aval isri tamalaka. So he thinks this is an appropriate thing to do, but so it's unclear here whether the reference is only to the husband being knowing these chumros or other people as well. So, but apparently there was such a practice in some places that they would, on some level, treat a woman as anida as tameya and not come in contact with certain things that she came in contact with. But that is not a common practice. Generally speaking, our whole discussions are only going to be relevant to the Issa Labayla and not to Tumas V'Taharas. Yeah. So that's about the husband, but the other lines, it's not clear whether those chumras are also only the husband or even other people as well.
What would be the reason to have a chakka for other people?
This is because of Tumah V'Taharas. So he says even though we're not really machmir in Tumah V'Taharas Manazeh, but people would treat Anida as Tameya. Maybe you're right. Maybe the reference is only to the husband. It's not clear in this citation. If that was, even if that was the case, that's still a that's still interesting, noteworthy, and not did not become common practice. But okay, could be you're right. Fine. So let's take a look a little bit at the psukim here, just to understand what the psukim tell us about Anida versus Azava. So beginning with Pasuk Yutas in Perek Tesvav, the first parsha is out of Anida. V'isha ki siyeh zava, dam yeyeh zava bivsara, shivas yamim tiyeh v'nidasa, v'chol enogeya ba yitma ad ha'arev. So when a woman has a dam that flows, she is 7 days v'nidasa, in her state of nidus, So, what is the din of Nida? Shavas Yamim Tiyev Nida Sa, that a woman is considered to be a Nida for 7 days, irrespective of how long she actually sees Dam. So whether she sees Dam for 1 day, or for 2 days, or for 3 days, or 5 days, or 7 days, as long as she's Mafsekis Betara on day seven, as long as she stops seeing Dam and demonstrates that the Dam stopped sometime on day seven, so then her period of nidus ends at the end of those 7 days. And then what? So that's not beferish in the psukim. It doesn't say anywhere beferish in the psukim that a nida goes to the mikvah as part of her tara process. If you look in Tosis and Yavamas and Daf Memzayin Abubayz, between Tosis there and the Tosis Yishanim, there are, if you count, 5 days in Rishonim as to what the source is that a woman who's a Nida goes to the mikvah. That's clearly the din. What the source is a machlokas Rishonim. But if you read the psukim literally, the psukim don't tell you beferish that a nida goes to the mikvah at the end of her 7 days. When did she go to the mikvah? So that's the Gemara on Samach Zayin Amibayz, the Memer of Rav, nida bizmana eina tavelas ela balayla. That a nida goes to the mikvah at night, so she counts, the period of nidus is going to be 7 days. So she sees dam on day one, dam on day two. Whenever she stops between day one and day seven, she's going to go to the mikvah at the end of, when 7 days are complete, that night following the seventh day.
So it's only from the Gemara, or the Mishnah alludes to it in the same way?
What do you mean?
You mentioned from Tosfos. I guess Tosfos was getting from the Gemara. You decided that there is.
Yeah, and I'm saying, what's the makor? It's there's no beferish of pasuk. So we're showing this also about the makor. It's clear from the Mishnah and the Gemara that we need to go to the mikvah, but it's not beferish in the psukim. Okay, so again, a nida, whenever she sees dam, that doesn't affect the count. As long as she is mafsekes betara sometime before the end of day seven, she goes to the mikvah on the night after the seventh day. Okay, and that's the parsha of nida. Then let's continue. Pasuk Kafei, v'isha ki yazuv zov dama yamim rabim. So if a woman has a flow for many days, below es nidasa, not during the time of nidus, o chi sazuv al nidasa, or if she has a flow after the period of nidus, kol yemei zov tamasa, kimei nidasa tiyet meyahi. So all the days of ziva, she's treated, as far as tamatara is concerned, as a nida. She's considered to be a tmeya. What's this lashon of yamim rabim, many days? So the Tanchuma picks up on this. Tanchum is bothered, it's not necessarily any more days than Anida. It sounds like there's a contrast here. We just had the parsha of Nida, and Ishaki Sazuv Zov Dama Yamim Rabim. So it's true, the period of Ziva, as we'll see in a minute, for Zava Gedola may be longer than the period of Nidus, if you count the Shivan that came afterwards. But what's Yamim Rabim? So the Tanchuma picks up, and then Tanchuma has the following comment, that even though Yamim Rabim is not really that many days, let's say it's 7, 8, 9 days, if you count the whole period of time, so the Chumash comments that because a woman is pareshus mibayla, the woman can't be with her husband, therefore they're considered yamim shel tsar. There are days of pain and anguish for a woman because she can't be with her husband. That's why it's referred to as yamim rabim. So even if on the calendar it's not really that long, but psychologically, emotionally, it's considered to be a long time for the woman. Okay. Again, Vishaki Yazuv Zov Damayamim Rabim below Es Nidasa. So this is not during the period of Nidas. It sounds like this is something which is irregular, which is not the norm, which the Ramban comments over here is parallel to a Zav. A Zav is someone who has some kind of disease that causes him to see Ziva. So a Zav also is a woman who has some kind of abnormal medical situation that's causing her to see Dam during a time that she's not supposed to be seeing Dam. So there's some medical abnormality here. And that's a parallel between Zav and Zava. Both are not the norm in terms of a man or a woman's biology. So let's read on. Kol mishkav asher tishkav alav kol yemei zava kemishkav nidasa yelav v'chol akli asher teshev alav tameya ketemas nidasa v'chol nageva midma v'chibes v'gedav v'chas v'mayim v'tameira arev im tara mizava v'safu la shivas yamim v'char titar. Okay. Now, Tanchuma, notwithstanding the Pashup or the standard Rashi's Chazal in the Sifra, the Rashi quotes, is what's Yamim Rabim? Yamim Rabim means three. Because the Torah tells you this is a parsha of a Zava Gedola versus a Zava Ketana. What's the difference between a Zava Ketana and a Zava Gedola? So, Zava Ketana, if a woman sees Dam one day during a Mei Ziva, so then she's considered a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. What does that mean, a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom? That she sees Dam on Monday morning, and then she stops seeing Dam that afternoon. So she just has to wait another day to make sure she doesn't see any Dam, and then she's going to be Tahora. She can go to the mikvah that next day. So she sees Dam Monday morning, she doesn't see any more Dam Monday afternoon. So on Tuesday, she has to make sure she doesn't see any more dam, and she can go to the mikvah on Tuesday and be tahora. And we'll discuss the principle that she might be a sula baila because of shemitir v'tiftar, but on a mikra din level, she can go to the mikvah on Tuesday during the day and be muteres baila. So that's a zava katana. Same thing on 2 days. If a woman sees dam on Monday and again on Tuesday during Yemei Ziva, she stops seeing Dam sometime Tuesday afternoon, so then she's Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, she makes sure that she doesn't see Dam again on Wednesday, then she can go to the mikvah on Wednesday and be Tahora. But our parsha here of Yamim Rabim is talking about a Zava Gedola. Zava Gedola means that she sees Dam on 3 consecutive days. Once she sees Dam on 3 consecutive days, so that's Pasuk of Ches, V'safra la shivas yamim v'char titar. Then she has to count Shiva Nakim. Then she has to count 7 clean days. So she has to wait until she finishes seeing the Dam, be it 3 days or 4 days or 5 days. Whenever she finishes seeing Dam, she's Mavsekis Batara. She has to make sure that there's no more Dam. And then the next day she counts, beginning the next day, she starts counting Shiva Nakim. And then she goes to the mikveh at the completion of Shiva Nakim. Now, a Zava can go to the mikveh by Yom, Me'ikir Adin. A Zava can go to the mikveh on day 7, Me'ikir Adin. Karbanos she brings on day 8, Vayom HaShmini, Tikach Lash Dei Sarim, Shnei Bnei Yonah, Vavya Osama Lakoreno, Pesach Ol Moed. But going to the mikvah is on day 7. Why does she bring Karbanos? Anita doesn't bring Karbanos, Zava does bring Karbanos. So the Ramban comments here at the end of Mitzora that, again, this is a parallel to Zav. That just like the Ramban writes, Hinehu Choli Kizov Haish. So if a woman has Dam Ziva, then that is an illness parallel to the Zov of a man. And therefore, the Torah requires a korban as part of the healing process, just as the Torah requires a korban of a zav when he heals himself. I'm sorry?
Okay, so that's it. Like, there's a cost just like the man and the woman.
Right.
No, there's usually korbans for a kapara. I mean,
not times every korban's for a kapara.
Many times it's for a kapara.
Okay, and a zava is considered a woman who a zava who doesn't bring the korban yet is in the category of mechusa kapara, but mechusa kapara may be a bara term or may be a generic term. Doesn't necessarily mean that the thrust of the korban is because of kapara. Yeah.
So the point they're about to say the only reason why a person gets sick is because they sinned.
Okay.
No, it's meaning effectively you are actually the korban as a kapara.
Okay, I hear. Okay, good. I hear. Now, the fact that a zava can go to the mikveh on day 7, that's one of the applications of miksas hayom kekulo. Just like avelus, the last day of avelus, so we say miksas hayom kekulo. The last day of nezirus, we say miksas hayom kekulo. The last day of ziva, we say miksas hayom Kikulo as well, the last day of Hezger Mitzorah. So this is an application of Nixas Hayom Kikulo. And Rav Shechter has a piece which is printed in Bikvei Atzon Simen Yudayin, which I told you to look at the Marmor Kumas if you have time. Rav Shechter quotes from the Rav. The Rav explained that how do you know when you say Nixas Hayom Kikulo versus not? So Mixas Hayom Kekulo is where you have a period referred to as a malos, a period which, the way the Rav explained it, means you have days that are imposed on the calendar. You don't have a pre-existing calendrical period of time. If you have something that's a personal count that's imposed on your personal calendar, so a Zava or a Nazir or a Mitzorah, so they have their own personal count that is imposed on the calendar, and there you can say Mixas Hayom Kekulo. What he was coming lafuke is the suggestion of other achronim that you only say mixas hayom kekulo where you have something that's undesirable. So avelus is undesirable. Mitzorah, being a mitzorah is undesirable. Being a zav is undesirable. Where something is undesirable, then you can say mixas hayom kekulo. The problem with that is the question that Rabbi Yosef Engel raises, quoting earlier achronim, quoting the Ramami Panu. Rabbi Yosef Engel is printed in the Gilyonei Hashas in the beginning of Nazir, the Gilyonei Shas and Daf Heyam and Beis Nazir. So Yosef Engel there raises the question, why do you say Mixas Hayom Kekulo on Shabbos and Yontif? So he answered, I went a step ahead of myself. Okay, let's take a step back, sorry. Yosef Engel raises the question, why do we say Mixas Hayom Kekulo on Shabbos? So he answers that you don't say Mixas Hayom Kekulo on Shabbos because you only say Mixas Hayom Kekulo on something that's undesirable. So we like Shabbos, we like Yontif, so we're not going to say Mixas Hayom Kekulo. Avelus is undesirable, Mitzorah is undesirable, Ziv is undesirable, so there you say Mixas Hayom Kekulo. That's how Rav Yosef Engel answers the kasha of the Ramami Panu, why you don't say Mixas Hayom Kekulo on Shabbos and Yontif. But the kasha on that, the Rav pointed out, is what about Nazirus? Nazirus, at least according to one day in Tanayim, a Nazir is someone who's laudable. He does have a certain machlokas whether he's considered a chote or not, right? Blesser Kapper Beribi, but the position in Tanayim that argues on Rav Yosef Kapper Beribi, Yochanan Kapper Beribi, assumes that a Nazir is a holy person, so he is he is justified in accepting Naziris. So then Naziris is something desirable. So that answer won't work. So that's what the Rav suggests, that it's not a matter of desirable versus not. It's, is it something imposed on the calendar as opposed to something which pre-exists? So Shabbos and Yom Tov are on the calendar as you buy in the Judaica store, you get in the mail. So that exists before anything. So then you know it's the Yom Kukulo. If it's a personal account that you're going to impose on the calendar, be it Naziris, being Avelis, be it Ziva, then you're going to say Mitzvah Yom Kukulo. Okay. So let's just summarize what are the differences that we see from the Pesukim and from Chazal between a Zava Gedola and a Nida. So number one, a Zava Gedola requires counting Shiva Nakiyim. A Zava Gedola, whenever she sees Dam, be it 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, however long, once she finishes seeing Dam, she has to be Masekus Petara, she has to establish that the Dam has stopped, and then she has to count 7 clean days beginning on the next day. So a Zava Gedola minimally is going to have 3 days of Ziva, that's the definition of Zava Gedola, followed by 7 days of Shiva Nakiyim. As opposed to Anida only counts 7 days beginning from the first day of Dam, as it doesn't make a difference how many days she sees Dam. If she sees Dam beyond 7 days, so she's going to be Anida until she finishes seeing Dam. But if a Dam stops sometime within the first 7 days, so her period of Nidus ends at the end of day 7, and there's no further counting. So there's no din of Shiva Nakiyim when it comes to a Nida. Yeah?
If she sees beyond, she's not a Zava, she continues to be a Nida?
If she sees beyond, if she sees into day 11, that's going to be subject to the Machlok. If she sees beyond, that's subject to the Machlok, as Rashi and the Rambam, about the Yud Aleph Yom Be Nida Lenida, which we'll talk about soon. Correct. So correct. That is subject to that machlokas. But the way we generally assume, like both Rishonim, she's going to continue to be a Nida even beyond. According to the Rambam, not according to Rashi, Rav Rishonim, if a woman has Dam Nidus and continues to see Dam Nidus for, let's say, 8 days, she's considered a Nida until the end of that 8th day.
And she would only become Midraisa, she would only become a Zava Katana if she would stop.
If the need to stop, and then there'd be a break, correct? According to Rashi and Rav Rishonim.
Oh, that would be subtle. If you go from the same place in the same way, it would be a stop, and then a,
right.
Okay.
We'll talk about that if not today, the next time. Okay. So again, difference number one between a Zava Gedola and a Nida. A Zava Gedola has a requirement of Shiva Nakiyim. A Nida does not have a requirement of Shiva Nakiyim. Difference number two: a Zava Gedola brings a korban. And there's no institution of Nida, of Korban for Nida. Okay, so number one, Shiva Nakiyim versus not. Number two, Korban versus not. And number three, do you say Mitzvah Yom Kukulo / is it Tefillah Bayom or the Tefillah Balayla? So for Azava, Gedola, we say Mitzvah Yom Kukulo, and the Tefillah is Bayom. For a Nida, there's no Mitzvah Yom Kukulo, and the Tefillah is Balayla. Okay, so those are the standard classic differences between a Nida and a Zava. There's a fascinating Rashi that quotes a Shita that has a fourth difference. If you look in Rashi here in Nida, Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, it's the end of Rashi, Dibra Maskel Nikvaos Bimei Nisan. Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Nikvaos Bimei Nisan. So Rashi there writes, at the very end, Yesh Mefarshim, Dibi'inan Mayim Chayim Lezava. Some say that there's a requirement of Mayim Chayim for a Zava, that as opposed to a Nida that can purify yourself in a mikvah means ashpor and a mikvah means stagnant water, a Zava has to go into Mayim Chayim, has to go into a Mayim, has to go into flowing water just like a Zav. So according to this position that Rashi quotes, there's a difference between a Nida and a Zava as far as what the Tara process involves. Is it sufficient to go to a mikvah, or do you have to go to a mayim? V'lam ilsihi. So Rashi says that position is incorrect. D'tanya b'tosefta, chomer b'zav mi b'zava, shazav ton mayim chayim. Rashi quotes the tosefta that says b'feirush that a zav requires mayim chayim, and a nida does not require mayim chayim. Okay, so Rashi quotes such a position and rejects it out of hand. Interesting. If you look in Rashi in Sanhedrin, and Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, Rashi in Sanhedrin, Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, Rashi quotes the same position, it sounds like, and doesn't reject it. Rashi there writes, Hey Zayin Amar Al Dir Maskel Halachos. Rashi writes, V'im Rasa Shlosha Yamim Ritzufim Hab Yaziva. So if a woman sees Dam on three consecutive days, she's considered a Zava. Likorban. Nafkamina, number one, she has to bring a korban. Uletevilas Mayim Chayim. And she has to go to a Mayim. So being considered a Zava, Rashi writes, Nafkamina for korban, Nafkamina for Mayim versus Mikvah. If you look in the Rashash over there, Rashash changes the Girsa and Rashi. The Rashash says the correct Girsa is not litevilas mayim chayim, but litsefiras zayin nekiyim. It's a pretty big change. I don't know if he had a manuscript. As it can't be that Rashi wrote tevilas mayim chayim. That's incorrect, Ladina, even if there is such a sheet out there. So it must be the correct Girsa is litsefiras zayin nekiyim. That for me is whether you need zayin nekiyim like a Zava or not. Like a Nida. However, there definitely is a position in Gaonim, quoted in various Jewish Gaonim, that a Zava does require Mayim Chayim, does require a Maya. The Ramban, in that piece in the end of Mitzvah that we quoted earlier, discusses this position. The Ramban actually writes that Al Derech HaPshat, he thinks that if you just read the flow of Psukim, you get the impression that there's no difference between the Tara of a Zav and the Tara of a Zava. Zav and Zav are parallel partios. So by Zav, the Torah tells you Mayim Chayim. So al derech hapshat, you should assume that a Zava requires Mayim Chayim as well. Aval, writes Ramban, Rabbosenu hikilu b'taras hazava. So the Rabban were makel not to require that of a Zava. Shetitar kidero shari natarim mitum asam b'mei mikvah. And where do they get that from? Where did Chazal get that from? So the pasuk writes in the part of Zava, v'im taram yizava v'safra lo shivas yamim v'yachar titar. So what's the achar titar? That seems unnecessary. Obviously, we're talking about at the end of 7 days. Then she's tara. That's what a 7 day tara process does. Why does the Torah have to tell you achar titar? So Chazal apparently picked up on that. So understand, achar titar is telling you there's a difference between this tara process and the tara process of a zav. Zav requires mayan. A zav does not require mayan. So on a Pshuto shel mikra, me'ikir hadin level, maybe a Zava should have required Mayan, but Chazal understood. If you look in the footnotes in the Rabbi Shevel edition of the Ramban, he asks, where did the Ramban get this drasha from? You can't make up drashas. It doesn't say in the Midrashi Halacha, there's no drasha on V'achar Titar. But be that as it may, the Ramban says, you see from, Chazal understood from V'achar Titar, that the Tara process of Zava is different than the Tara process for a Nida, and there's no for a Zav rather, and there's no requirement of Mayim Chayim. There's an interesting Radak. Radak in Zechariah, the beginning of Perek Gimel. Pasuk says, referring to Achri Sayamim, referring to Yemosa Mashiach, rather. Bayomahu Yiyem Mekor Niftach LeBeis David. And that day, there will be a source opening up LeBeis David. Says the Radak, what's this source? A source of water. Ki Ad Hayomahu, says the Radak, Lo Yatsu Mayim Yerushalayim Misocha Yer. The histopkos of Yerushalayim for centuries, for millennium, was from outside the city. The Neshiloach, there was no water source in the municipal boundaries of Yerushalayim itself. And what's going to happen in the future? V'az, Yetzu Mayim Chayim Ba'ir. Then there's going to be a live water source coming out from the city itself. V'lo Yitzarchu Latzeis Chutz La'ir L'meichatas Shetzarch Shiyu Chayim K'ma Shekasev. And they won't have to go outside the city in order to get Mayan water for Meichatas, for the Paraduma. V'chein L'nida Shizava Shetzvicha Mayim Chayim. And also for the Nida, who's a Zava, who requires Mayim Chayim, so the woman won't have to go outside of the city limits to go into a Mayan, there'll be fresh sources of water in Yerushalayim itself. So what is Pshat in this Shita that requires Mayan for a Zava? The Netziv has an interesting suggestion that kind of limits its effect. The Netziv, the Margolis Hayam references this. It appears in the Merome Sada here, and it says Perish on the Gemara here, Nida Samasayim, but it was where the Margolis Hayam quotes it from is a tshuva of the Netziv, which is printed in a small volume called Roe Yeshurin, which is available in Osir Chachma. So this volume, Roe Yeshurin, is a collection of Hespedim that were given for number one, the Netziv, number two, Rabbi Shua LeKutner, and number three, Moses Montefiore. I'm not sure what the Tzad HaShav is, but in this collection of Hespedim on the Netziv, they also reprinted a Tshuva of the Netziv, and this Tshuva of the Netziv suggests that this Shita in Gaonim that requires Mayan for Azava doesn't really mean a Mayan. It doesn't mean a Mayan as opposed to a mikvah. It means water that wasn't heated up by man. There is a din, the Mishnah Parachas and Para, that when it comes to Mechatas, Mechatas shenishtanu bidei adam are puzzle. That Mechatas that were altered by man are puzzle. So if you were to heat up Mechatas, how puzzle it? So the suggestion in the Tziv is that it doesn't really mean, according to the Shita Saga Onim, that there's a requirement that a Nida go into a Mayan per se. It means that she can't go into water that was heated up bidei adam. Why do you think you do require that?
Yeah.
So there are certain parallels between Mechatas, you mean by Zava?
Yeah.
Right, there are certain parallels between Mechatas and Zava as far as the Tara process. And they both require Mayim Chayim. Yeah, so why would you say that it's only that aspect of Mayim Chayim and not everything of Mayim Chayim? It's a little creative. The Aruch Liner here implicitly points out that probably machlokas between the Mishnah and Tosefta, because the Mishnah Megillah in the Ein Beins, when it says Ein Bein Zava Gedol Zava Katana, or Ein Bein Zav LaZava, so there's no reference to. There is no reference to Mayim Chayim being a difference. As opposed to the Tosefta that Rashi quotes that does mention Mayim Chayim as being a difference. Be that as it may, there is such a Shita Sagonim that Rashi at least here rejects, not accepted Lalacha. Although the Sefer Manig notes, Sefer Manig was written by Rabbi Avram Hayarchi, Rabbi Avram from Lunil, Rishon. Provençal Rishon. Lunil is French for moon, lunar, Lunil. So he was called Ravam Hayarchi because he was from Lunil. So the Sefer Manig is a collection of mostly Minhagim that they had in Provence and that he noticed in his travels. He records over there in Simon Kuf Yates, he quotes this Shita Sagonim, and he says that in Spain, there were people that were machmir to require a mayan for a zava, and as we'll see, we're machmir to treat all our nidos as zavos. So if you were to be choshish with the shita sagodim, every nido going to the mikvah would have to go to a mayan instead of a mikvah. So he writes that in Spain they had such a practice that they were machmir to only go to a mayan, and he writes that it was a chumar hasid kula, that it led to major kulas because the mayans were uncomfortable, they were cold, and women would not go to the mayan. Instead, they go to some bathhouse or something, which was totally worthless. So instead, they attempted to be machmir for the shita ka'onim, and they ended up violating Yisurei Kares because they ended up not going even to a mikvah. So he says it's a chumra l'sidei kula, and it was a bad idea to have such a practice. The Bach also, the Bach in Simen Reish Aleph Sivkat and Beis, Simen Reish Aleph Sivkat and Beis knows that there was such a practice in some places to use a mayan, but that's not lalacha, and we're not really choshish for the shita sagaonim. There's some mikvahs around that are also mayans, but as a matter of principle, we're not choshish for the shita to require a mayan for anida bisman hazeh.
What about definition?
Sorry.
Not constantly flowing, so they turn into ashbara as soon as they're stopped.
What's not constantly flowing?
Most
mikvahs are not, but there are mikvahs that have a mayan going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just to mention, I don't have time to explore this together, but there is a discussion in Achronim, and some machlokes rishonim, basically. If you want to look in the Asvan Deraisa, he has this discussion in Simen Kaf Aleph, whether the Isser Nida Labaila is considered Davar Sheba'erva, is it standard Arayas, or is it simply a function of Tumma, meaning fundamentally Nida is a Halacha in Tumma Vatara, and as an extension, as a one of the ramifications of this Din in Tumma Vatara is that a woman is also a Sula Baila. So is it a standard classic Arayas, or is it simply an extension of the Tumma? L'may Nafkamina. So one of the classic nafkaminas would be Hargval Yavor. So we assume that if it an Isser Erva, one of the Arayas, Gilei Arayas is one of the big three, so then Hargval Yavor would be operative. If it's simply an extension of Isser Tumah, so maybe Hargval Yavor doesn't apply. Or Ein Davar Sheba'erva Pachas Mishnayim. Ein Davar Sheba'erva Pachas Mishnayim. If it's an Erva, fine. If it's not, so then maybe Eid Echad would be sufficient. I told us in the beginning of Gittin quotes V'safra lesa makar for Eid Echa Nema and Bisurim. So clearly he's assuming that it's not considered to be an Erva because Eid Echa is sufficient. Okay, take a look at the Asan Derais. He has Rais from Mishon in both directions, but we don't really have time to discuss that. I'm sorry?
He brings the
Erva to Nafkamina. Yeah. And then we'll just conclude for today with the Yud Aleph Yom Shevei Nida Lenida. So the Gemara has this in a few places in Nida, but it's also that sugya in Erchin on Daf Ches. The Gemara has it here, for example, in Ayin Beis Amid Beis. There's a halacha Moshe Messina that talks about the Yud Aleph Yom Shebei Nida Lenida. So there's a period of 11 days between Nida Lenida. What does that mean? So according to Rashi and Rov Rishonim, that means the following. That a woman, this is most explicit in Rashi and Erechon and Avchesim and Aleph. Position of Tosis as well, in Rov Rishonim. So, according to Rashi, if a woman sees Dam on day one, so that's Dam Nidus. So she continues seeing Dam day 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. She stops on day 7. So then her period of Nidus is over. She can go to the mikvah that night. Let's say she continues to see Dam on day 8, continues to see Dam on day 9. So that's all considered to be Dam Nidus until she stops seeing Dam, and then she goes to the mikvah. let's say the standard case, a woman sees Dam sometime up to but not including day 7. She finishes seeing her Dam sometime before day 7. She goes to the mikveh that night. Then, if she sees Dam any time over the next 11 days, so she has 7 days of Nidus. If she sees Dam any time during the next 11 days, then she is, that's considered to be Dam Ziva. So she had 7 days of Nidus. Anytime during the next 11 days that she sees Dam, that's going to be Dam Ziva. Okay, so now we're up to the 18th day of the month, right? So according to Rashi, if she sees Dam on the 19th day of the month, after the 11 days are over, that's going to be Dam Nida again. If she doesn't see Dam until the 28th day of the month, that's also going to be Dam Nida. If she doesn't see Dam until 33 days after the first Re'iyah, that's also Dam Nida. According to Rashi, the Yud Aleph Yom is only 11 days after the initial period of Nidus ends. So you have 7 days of Nidus. If she sees Dam during the next 11 days, that's abnormal. That's unexpected. Anytime after those 11 days, whenever she sees Dam again, then the clock resets, and that's considered to be Dam Nida again. Okay? That's the position of Rashi, Rav Yishon, and that's how we generally assume Lalacha. The Rambam has a noteworthy Shita. The Rambam is the Surei Bia Perek Vav Halacha Vav. And the Rambam writes as follows. Let's start with Halacha Dali. Kol Sheva Sayamim Shenikba Lavest Bitchilasan Heina Nekran Yemeini Dasa. Actually, we should start earlier. Let's start with Halacha Beis. Kishatira Ha'isha Dam Tchila. When a woman first sees Dam. Oh, Kishatira B'Shas Vesta. Or she sees Dam at a period that she expects to see it. Vua Eis Tchakava L'Nidasa. Harezu Nida Kol Shiva Sayamim. So then, she's a Nida for 7 days. Bein Ras Kol Shiva, whether she sees Dam for 7 straight days. Bein Shalaras Alatipi Rishad Bavad, if she only sees Dam a little bit on the first day. Ras Dam Yamashmini, if she sees Dam at day 8, that's considered Dam Ziva. V'chein Kol Dam Shetira B'soch Hayamim Shebein Vest Nida Leves Nida, Hareyu Dam Ziva. Any dam during the interim period between nida and nida is considered dam ziva. V'alacha Moshe Misina she'ein bein zman nida l'zman nida ela achara sayom bilvad. Okay. Kol sheva sayomim shenikba laves b'tchilasan heina nekran yemei nidasa. So those 7 days where the vest was initially established is considered yemei nidasa. Bein ras behen dam bein la ras. Whether or not she sees dam.
The
Rambam writes that the first time a woman ever sees Dam in her life, so that establishes when her Yemei Nidus are going to be, that 7 days. The next 11 days are Yemei Ziva. The next 7 days are Yemei Nida. The next 7 days are Yemei Ziva. So she has to calculate in her mind for the rest of her life, or until there's an Akira Savest, until let's say she's pregnant because of the Selakas Damim, 7-11. So any Dam that she's going to see during the alternate 7-day periods is Dam Nida. Any Dam that she sees during the alternating 11-day periods is going to be Dam Ziva. Irrespective of when she actually sees Dam. So we never restart the clock. It's always 7-11, 7-11, and women has to be cognizant of what's 7 and what's 11. So again, Rav Yishonim assume lalacha like Rashi. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan and Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, the Aruch HaShulchan has a lengthy explanation to try to justify where the Rambam is coming from. He points out, for example, the whole calculations of Safek, of why we're being Machmir to to be choshesh that maybe something with dam ziva makes a lot more sense according to the Rambam than according to Rashi, because according to the Rambam, you can well understand that if it's 7-11, 7-11, you're going to make mistakes. According to Rashi, it's very rare that a woman's going to have such a short cycle that she's going to see dam during the 11 days after the first 7. So we have all these chumros because of that rare possibility that a woman's going to see dam during those 11 days after the first 7. So the Rosh Hashulchan develops that to try to explain Shitas HaRambam. Bottom line, we generally assume, like Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rav Rishon. Okay, next time we will discuss Takanas, Rebbe, and the Chumra B'Nos Yisrael from Zera. What you should focus on is what the Chumra B'Nos Yisrael from Zera added on to Takanas, Rebbe. What do we have without it? What do we have after it? You should just know, as far as Mar Makomos, I apologize for going a little bit over today, the Mar Makomos will probably continue to be updated on Google Docs, so even if you don't get an email that there are new Mar Makomos, you should check it. Probably every day. And if I go back and add more Mar Makomos into the existing Mar Makomos, I'll try to do that in a different color so you can see that something was added. So since I sent out the initial Mar Makomos out of Rebbe Reb Zeira, I did add some more, which are in blue or something. And then after that, we will begin our discussion of what makes a woman a Nida min HaTorah, focusing initially on Hargasha.
We will catch that on Wednesday.
We may touch on the very beginning on Wednesday.